Hare Krishna. It is truly my great fortune, honor, and joy to be with all of you. Special gratitude to my esteemed and worshipable God brothers, God sisters, and to each and every one of you. Srila Prabhupada wrote that in order to truly access and understand the inner truths of bhakti, mahajano yena katha sapanta, we require to follow the teachings as well as follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, ye gatha mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaha, that according to the nature of our surrender to him, he reveals himself accordingly. Krishna is non-different than his holy names. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. So it is not only chanting, but the consciousness in which we approach the name, surrender to the name, wherein Krishna reveals himself. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, our beloved Param Guru, he revealed that if we chant the holy names with sincere humility and surrender, then Krishna, who is the name, Nam Nama Kari Bahut Nicha Sarva Shaktis, Krishna has come, is Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Vatar. Krishna has incarnated in his own names. Hare, Sri Radha is personally present in her names. And when we chant sincerely with earnest, humble, and pure hearts, then Sri Radha Shyam Sundar reveal their forms, their qualities, their pastimes, their abode, their associates, ultimately their intimate love. Krishna is non-different than Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. It is his words that summarizes the very essence of all the Vedas. And the Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the highest, most intimate truths of Krishna, culminating in his pastimes of Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Srimad Bhagavatam is literary incarnation of Krishna. The Dham of Sri Vrindavan is none different than Sri Radha Gopinath. This is their expanded personal energy that has manifested an eternal abode to share beautiful pastimes. And this abode is eternally existing in the spiritual world of the Paravyoma as Goloka or Krishnaloka. And just as Krishna descends into this world, Sri Vrindavan Dham descends. So how we approach Vrindavan is how Vrindavan, Vrinda Devi, will reveal herself to us. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Akrura. When Akrura was coming to Vrindavan, even though he was sent on a mission by Kamsa to bring Krishna to Mathura, and Kamsa's motivation was to kill Krishna and Balaram, Akrura knew that they cannot be killed. He understood their supreme glory, and he loved them. And he took this as the most blessed opportunity to actually see Krishna. So while he was coming here from Mathura, he was meditating on Krishna. He was chanting the names of Krishna with such eagerness, intense eagerness. That Krishna will glance on me. I will take the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna will understand my real motive to surrender my body, mind, words, life to him. So he was coming to Vrindavan in really a spirit to surrender, to serve, to love. It's this consciousness in which we can actually enter into the spirit of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada defined bhakti as devotional service. The eagerness to serve for Krishna's pleasure. To take our selfishness and all of our personal conceptions of what we like and don't like aside. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. What will please Lord Hari? What will please our gurus and the Vaishnavas? And an eagerness, a determination, a longing. When we beg for that service, Krishna gives himself. The six Goswamis, they taught us how to live in Vrindavan. They left the riches of this material world to live under trees, on the ground, as beggars. They were begging for service, begging for loving service. What is prema? When we beg for prema, we just don't beg to experience the ecstasy of love. We beg for prema because when we have love, then we can serve Krishna in a way that will truly make him happy. As we come deeper in the spirit of bhakti, we understand that everything is for the satisfaction of Krishna as the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. We explained how the gopas and the gopis, when ecstatic symptoms, where their heart was flooding with ananda, with bliss, when it distracted them from carefully performing their service, They prayed that those ecstasies would go away. Krishna is happy when we're ecstatic to serve him. But the principle is the service. Bhakti, devotional service. The more we love Krishna, the more Krishna will be pleased by our service. That's why we want to love Krishna. When we come to Vrindavan, this is what we beg. In these scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis, they offer a beautiful prayer in honor of Govardhan Hill. He is Krishna himself, but he's also playing the role of the best devotee of Krishna, Haridas Bharya. Of all devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best, because in every possible way, Giriraj wants to give pleasure in serving Krishna Balaram, the cows, the gopas, the gopis, the calves, the bulls, in such simple ways, by providing fresh, fragrant, delicious, nutritious grass for the cows to eat, and very pure, nectaring waters in the lakes and the waterfalls and the streams to drink. By providing so many beautiful trees with fruits and nice, cool caves with precious jewels. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that Govardhan Hill knows the art of pleasing Krishna by pleasing those he loves, his devotees, his cows. So this is Sri Radha and gopis giving their expert opinion. The best devotee is not based on any material position. It's not even based on quantity of service. It's based on their eagerness to please Krishna, even in the simplest ways. We read about great heroes of Mahabharata who were fighting massive armies and risking their lives and preparing themselves for their whole life for that purpose. And they were great devotees. The gopis, they just picked flowers and weaved those flowers into garlands, and they milked cows and churned the milk into butter and made some nice preparations. And Krishna wanted to dance with them. Actually, any one of us can make a garland. Any one of us can churn yogurt. Don't need an engineering degree. Child could do it. So the gopis were engaged in the simplest activities that anyone and everyone could do. But their hearts, at every moment, their every word, their every thought, their every motion, was simply for Krishna's pleasure. They would be willing, any of the gopis were willing to die a million times, enter into the most hellish conditions for millenniums, if by doing so they could relieve Krishna of even a moment of distress. When we have that love and we pluck a flower, it's greater than Indra offering his entire empire to Krishna. So we come to Vrindavan as beggars with this eagerness to serve, praying to Krishna to take away the veil of Maya, which affects the world in limitless ways, where we're thinking our sensual, our mental pleasures are so important. Our particular position, our prestige, are so important. What we have, what other people have. Our minds are so easily disturbed by things that for the eternal soul mean absolutely nothing, and they never meant anything, and they never will. That's Maya. Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not, that which has no value. We spend every moment practically of this valuable human life trying to get it and keep it. We're willing to fight for it. We're willing to kill for it. We're willing to hate for it. We're willing to expend every moment which is more precious than all the wealth in creation for nothing. The soul, its nature, is to please Krishna through love. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, very rare. How many births each and every one of us has taken? Very difficult to calculate. But perhaps millions in so many species. And now here we are, once in a day of Brahma, Krishna reveals his original transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. That's about 8,600,000,000 years. And it was just recently. And Srila Prabhupada, by his causeless mercy, has brought us the full Vrindavan as it has been realized by all the great acharyas or sages of the parampara. And we're here. We don't know how long we'll live. It may be minutes, it may be years. But we're in Vrindavan. In the month of Kartik, on the day of Govardhan Puja, what an incredible fortune. Why should we be distressed and disturbed and worried about all these foolish things? So we are begging Krishna, please attract my heart. Srila Prabhupada, in his last days in this world, when his body was almost without any health or weight whatsoever. He was so thin. He couldn't even hardly move. But we've seen the videos where he's laying there. He can't even move his hands. The only thing that's moving is his mouth. And devotees are putting little dictaphones next to his mouth, and he is translating and presenting his purports for Srimad Bhagavatam. No complaints. In whatever situation he was in, he was just so grateful, so happy, and so ecstatic to serve. But he told devotees, I want to do parikrama of Govardhan. This is just at the time of Govardhan Puja, 1977. But how do you do parikrama when you can't even sit, what to speak of walk? So he said, get ox cart, I will go on bullock. But in those days, there were no paved roads. Those were the good old days. It was very, for bullock cart. The doctor said, at the very beginning, he will certainly leave his body. Impossible, cannot take him. So some of the devotees, their mood was, whatever he says, we must just do it. We can't think in terms of any other consideration. He said he wants to go, we take him. It's not our business whether he lives or dies. It's our business to carry out his instruction. And others, they were thinking, no, we can't take him. He will suffer so much and he won't survive. So there was tension. And it was actually mounting up very seriously. This was not just a joking situation. It was a reality. The bullocks were waiting outside. Prabhupada said, take me. No. And finally, some of the leaders of our society at the time, they were crying, Prabhupada, please. And Prabhupada's dear godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he loved Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada loved him. And Prabhupada said, Babaji Maharaj, see how much they love me. And he said, I will stay for the pleasure of his devotees. Today, being Govardhan Puja, we'd like to briefly narrate parts of this story. Yesterday was Deepavali, the Amavasya. When Krishna was 7 years old, the day after, on the first day of the moon, Krishna and Balaram happened to see Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men were making very elaborate arrangements for a ceremony. And of course, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas would do this every year. Krishna knows everything. But as Srinandanandana, he asked his father, please tell me, what are all of these arrangements you're making? I see so many articles of religious worship, and I see Brahmins assembled, and I see so much of an investment of time and energy. Tell me everything. There should be no secrets among family members. Nanda Maharaj explained that we are Vaishyas. our livelihood, our lives are very much dependent on protecting the cows. And the cows eat grass. And in order for the grass to grow, we require rain. Indra is the deva, the demigod that provides rain. So it is our family tradition from a long time that on this day every year we give puja for Indra. To show our gratitude with the hopes that he will continue to bless us. Krishna spoke very philosophically. It's only a seven-year-old child. He said, "My father, we don't need Indra. In his heart, Krishna, he knows everything. Indra's a devotee. And even devotees in high positions sometimes become affected by false pride. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells that we should not be attached to what Krishna gives us for our devotional service. He may give us fame, he may give us knowledge, he may give us money, he may give us power. He may give us abilities. But we should never claim them to be our own, because that becomes a great impediment. We become proud. Janmaishwarya Shruti Sribya Edamana Vadapumam. Queen Kunti offer this prayer. The great impediments to true bhakti is when we become falsely proud due to having wealth, knowledge, beauty, or fame, high birth. If we have these things, and in a humble spirit, a servant of the servant of the servant, we use them for Krishna, that is Yukta Vairagya. But we really need to chant attentively, and we really need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, and we really need an association of advanced devotees. Otherwise, we could so easily fall in the trap of I and mine. And even in the name of service, I'm doing this service for my Guru and Krishna. But if somebody's doing more, I become envious, or I become depressed. Or if I'm doing more, I become very condescending and arrogant, demanding special privileges and rights. Well, Krishna knows that that's the tendency for every one of us. So he likes to teach lessons in very, very powerful ways. And he wanted to teach each and every one of us through Indra today. Because Krishna saw Indra has a really big post. He's head of the devas, of the Swarga Loka. There's so many Vedic hymns to Indra. But Indra's getting distracted by false pride. And Krishna cannot tolerate false pride in the hearts of his devotees. So when he shows his good mercy, he takes that pride away. And it's up to us how he has to do it. If we understand it by hearing, and we really value being the servant of the servant of the servant, and not make offenses, then just through the chanting of the holy names, Krishna will take it all away. But if we're stubborn and we hold on to it, sometimes Krishna has to really crush that pride so that we chant the holy names helplessly. So Krishna wanted to give special mercy to Indra and simultaneously to everyone. So Indra's listening. Krishna knows. We should be aware that whatever we say, wherever we say it, whoever's there or not there, Krishna's hearing in our hearts. The demigods are hearing too. I don't want to make you afraid, but we should be alert to the reality. Nothing's a secret. There's higher powers who are witnessing everything at every moment. Even if you go into the darkest, most lonely cave in the Himalayan jungles where there's not a single person around and it's not a single mosquito, still, Krishna, the devas, see your every movement, hear your every word. That's how we make progress, by this consciousness. How can I please you, my Lord? So Krishna said, we don't need this Indra, because after all, according to one's actions, there's equal corresponding reactions, the laws of karma. And if we do pious things, which we do, then the demigods, they are obliged by the laws of nature to provide good results. If somebody does sinful things, then the demigods will give painful results. So we're good people. Why are you thinking we're depending on Indra? Look at the ocean. The ocean's not doing any yajna. They don't even need water. But yet, torrents of rain is falling in the ocean. So let us be practical and let us be real and philosophical. We don't need Indra. Who are we dependent on? We're dependent on the Brahmins for blessings. We are dependent on the cows because they're providing everything for our lives. And we are depending on Govardhan Hill because Govardhan Hill is getting the water and the grasses and the fruits and everything for the cows. So let us take all of this elaborate paraphernalia and worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. Nanda Maharaj just wanted to please Krishna. And then Krishna explained how to do it. Make mountains and mountains of bhoga with our rice and our wheat and our vegetables and our ghee and all of our cow, of the gifts of Mother Cow. And they had all their cooks make mountains and mountains of bhoga. And all of the yajnas were arranged by the Brahmins for Govardhan Hill. And Krishna, he was the acharya of the whole yajna and ceremony. He was giving all the directions, and all the Brijavasis were following everything he was saying. So as they brought the bhoga forth, Krishna assumed an enormous form on top of Govardhan Hill. He wanted to show that Govardhan Hill was none different than himself. enormous. It was like two Govardhans. One was the hill, which was like a seat, and the other was of the same size as Govardhan Hill, but as an incredibly beautiful form of Krishna, as a personality. And Krishna, he said, just see, Govardhan Hill is so pleased with us. He's appeared in a personal form just to receive our offerings. And Krishna was simultaneously down with all the Brijavasis. And when Krishna bowed down to the form of Giriraj, all the Brijavasis bowed down. And they made the offering. And Govardhan, he extended his long arms and he ate all the mountains of Boga. He drank all the water from all the lakes around Govardhan Hill. And he wanted more. Anior. So they made more. They made everything they had, and he ate it. And then by his grace, he manifested it all as Mahaprasad. And then Shri Giriraj, in that beautiful personal form, disappeared. And the Brijavasis were so blissful, they distributed all that prasad to the Brahmins, to the Brijavasis, to the cows, to the dogs, to everyone. Everyone was completely happy. And Krishna was doing so many beautiful pujas he was leading for the cows, giving them food, giving them ornaments, giving them different forms of worship, giving them rest. And then with the cows in front, Krishna and Balaram, with all the Brijavasis, they performed the parikrama of Giriraj, circumambulated Govardhan Hill. The festival was wonderful. Everyone was the happiest, except Indra. Indra could not tolerate seeing the happiness of the Brijavasis. Not only did they totally discredit him in front of all the other demigods, they defied him. And he considered this such a terrible offense. But after doing it all, they were so happy. After eating Govardhan's prasad and seeing Govardhan's darshan and circumambulating Govardhan Hill and using all of Indra's puja's materials for that purpose, please try to understand, because we know what the false ego's like. Indra was saying that they were billions of times happier worshiping Govardhan than they were doing the puja every year for him. Not only was he insulted, but their happiness just added more fuel to the fire of his anger. They're so happy, listening to this talkative little seven-year-old boy, Krishna. I will teach them lesson. Indra called for the Samvartaka clouds. You've never seen one of these clouds, because if you see it, you can't talk about it after that. Because these are the clouds of devastation. They don't come in the monsoon times to, flood Mumbai. They come to actually cover the entire Earth at the time of a deluge of a planet. They're powerful clouds. They're reserved for that purpose. Indra called for the Samvartaka clouds. And he was fuming with anger. He completely lost his intelligence. The Bhagavad Gita tells, Jayato Vishayam Pungsa, that when you have attachment, it becomes lust. From that lust, when it's unfulfilled, it becomes anger. From anger, our memory is bewildered, our intelligence is lost, and then we commit offenses. Well, Indra, such a great position. He fell prey to that anger. He said, destroy the village of Vrindavan. Usually, I order you to cover the Earth planet. Now, with all the powers and potencies you have, that one village of Vrindavan, destroy it. So they were obedient. He sent cyclones, hurricanes, windstorms, rain. Suddenly, in Vrindavan, after this joyous festival, these incredibly dark clouds began to form in the sky. Our acharyas tell these clouds extended from Rasatala Loka all the way to Swarga Loka, just above Vrindavan. That means these clouds were hundreds and thousands of miles thick. And wind started blowing, and lightning was streaking. It became very cold. And when the rain started falling, it didn't come in drops. It came in pillars. It was like countless rivers pouring down from the sky. At such incredibly powerful speed. It was just starting. And the cows feeling the winds and the cold and seeing the clouds and the rains pouring, they only had concern for their little calves. And in Vrindavan, why did they care for their calves? Because they knew how much Krishna loved their calves. And as the mother, on behalf of Krishna, they're protecting those little calves. They're protecting on behalf of Krishna. So the cows, they were trying to protect their little babies by the hanging flesh that comes under their neck. They were covering the heads of the calves with that. And as the rain started pouring, they were crying, and the calves were crying. And the bulls, they were feeling the rain pounding against their horns and pounding against the humps on their backs, and they were looking at the clouds. Very distressed. And all the Brijavasis, they all came to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Oh, Krishna, you are so strong. We are suffering. You asked us to do the puja meant for Indra, and now Indra's really, really angry, and he's sending
massive storms upon us. And look, we've put our cows, your cows in front. Look at how your cows are suffering. And we're also suffering. The Brijabasis, they always saw Krishna as so vulnerable, just to increase their love. The gopis, they would cry, their hearts would break when they're thinking Krishna's feet are so soft. And when he goes to the pastures with his cows, if he steps on a pebble, on a little tiny stone, it may cause pain to his soft lotus feet. And Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi, they were always in anxiety about Krishna's welfare and safety. When Krishna was just a little baby and just started to walk, just to increase the love of their mothers, they would grab on to the horns of massive bulls. They would play with monkeys with sharp teeth and claws. They would go to the most dangerous kind of situations, apparently. And their mothers were always in anxiety, worried about their safety. But when it came to a major catastrophe like this, they all turned to Krishna as their only shelter to help them, to save them. And by Krishna's transcendental yogamaya potency, it didn't interfere with their relationships with Krishna. Their loving relationships. So Krishna smiled, and he traveled, he walked quickly to Govardhan Hill. And as effortlessly as a little child lifts up a mushroom, he lifted the Govardhan Hill. Now today, Giriraj is 21 kilometers to walk around. But at the time of Krishna, it was far bigger. It had peaks going to the clouds. And as Krishna lifted it so effortlessly, the whole earth was shaking. It made an enormous trembling sound, the uprooting of a mountain from the ground. And as he was lifting it, earth was falling, and it made a border around the whole hill so that the water, as it came off from Govardhan Hill, there was like a border wall of all the earth that blocked the water from coming under the hill. Krishna, with the little finger of his left hand, held up Govardhan Mountain. And then with a very sweet voice, he said, O Nanda, O Yashoda, O all Brijabasis, bring everyone. Bring your families, bring your cows. We will have a wonderful village that is non-different than Vrindavan under Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was serving as an umbrella to protect us from the rains. And the valley under Govardhan Hill was so beautiful. It was as beautiful as Vrindavan. And everyone came. Limitless cows and calves, and there were the peacocks and the parrots and the birds and the deers and all of the gopis and the gopas, they gathered around Giridhari. And Krishna said, because Govardhan is so pleased by your offerings, now he's here to protect us. He said, actually, I'm not lifting the hill. Govardhan himself has made himself as light as a feather, as light as cotton. And I'm just an instrument standing here. Because he's so pleased. When everyone gathered at under Govardhan Hill, which was like a beautiful jeweled umbrella, they surrounded Krishna. Krishna fulfilled the desire of everyone. All the gopis, all the gopas, all the cows, all the animals, the Brahmins, they were in a circle around Krishna. And each one was feeling, Krishna is only looking at me. And the reality was, it wasn't an illusion, Krishna was only looking at each one of them. That is Krishna. Each one was thinking so special. They were feeling Krishna's love so intimately. And he never stopped looking at them. Now you and me, you can look at someone and then you have to look somewhere else to look at someone else and then you have to look over there. But Krishna was looking at everyone simultaneously. And all the love of Krishna's heart was pouring out of his eyes, his lotus eyes, to completely conquer the hearts of all of the devotees. And each devotee was glancing at Krishna and offering all of the love of their hearts through their glances to him. And each particular type of devotee was serving Krishna according to their particular nature. The Brahmins were chanting mantras to bless Krishna, for Krishna to be happy. And Krishna was listening to each one of their prayers and receiving. Krishna's friends, the gopas, they were gazing upon Krishna. They were telling such sweet, loving jokes to make Krishna laugh. And Krishna was telling jokes to them to make them laugh. And the gopis, headed by Sri Radharani, it is described by Kavi Karnapur that they were gazing upon Krishna's beautiful moon-like face as the Chakora bird. Their eyes were like Chakora bird. According to Sanskrit poetry, the Chakora bird only looks up toward the full moon and cannot look at anything else. And as they were gazing upon Krishna, they were offering all the love of their hearts to Krishna, and Krishna was receiving. And how did he reciprocate? The beauty of his form was so much increased and enhanced by their love that each of them personally, individually, he entered through their eyes in his form into the very core of their hearts. And there they embraced him and he embraced them limitlessly. In great ecstasy. Yashoda Mai and the elder gopas and gopis, they were offering their love in Vatsalya Ras. They were very worried about Krishna. Yashoda Mai, she is chastising Krishna. Why are you so restless? Why are you so mischievous? Every year, for generations, we're doing this Indra Puja. Why did you disturb Indra? Now look, he's trying to destroy all of us. Why are you so restless? Don't you even have respect for the demigods? And Madhu Mangal, Bhatru, he started arguing with Yashoda Mai. He said, what are you saying? This is so nice. If Indra didn't get so angry as he did, we would not be having this beautiful darshan of Krishna lifting up Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. Look, we're all together under the hill together. This beautiful form of Krishna is bringing us such happiness. So nice that Indra became so angry. Yashoda Mai, what are you saying, Bhatru? My heart is breaking as a mother and you're telling jokes? How can you say this is happiness? My little son, his arm must be so tired. His finger must be feeling such pain. How can you say it's a happy thing to see a little boy holding up a massive mountain like this? Madhu Mangal said, Krishna's not doing it. It is my Brahman Tejas that is doing it. He's just standing and taking credit. Yashoda Mai was very much disturbed with Madhu Mangal and Krishna. Krishna said, Mother, please know, I'm so happy. This is effortless. Govardhan himself, just to protect us, out of his grace, he's just floating on my finger. I'm just standing here like this. Yashoda Mai said, if that's true, then have Govardhan rise above your finger and float in the sky. And Yashoda Mai was praying to Govardhan from the core of her heart with her motherly love. Please, Giriraj, king of mountains, make yourself very soft so it doesn't hurt the finger of my son. And make yourself very light so that he doesn't get tired. In this way, simultaneously, Krishna's having these beautiful exchanges under Govardhan Hill. And this took place for 7 days and 7 nights. Yashoda Mai is thinking Krishna must be really hungry. It is explained that all the people there, they didn't have Gauranga Prabhu and Radha Vallabha Prabhu setting up kitchens to cook for the masses in the middle of a field. They didn't need to eat. You may wonder how everybody's there. It is described simply by gazing upon the beauty of Krishna and feeling the grace of Krishna. They were completely nourished. Every cow, every calf, every bull, every animal, every bird, every devotee. But Yashoda Mai was preparing nice little preparations for Krishna. After all, he must be really hungry. He's holding up this hill. And at one time, with his left hand, he's holding Govardhan Hill. With his right hand, it was on the shoulder of one of his cowherd boyfriends. And then he took his flute. And as he held the Giriraj with one hand, he began to play beautiful songs on his flute with his right hand, enchanting the hearts of everyone. When Krishna plays his flute, when we actually awaken love, we could all experience he's personally playing for each of us. It was so sweet. But some of the cowherd boys got really worried that when Krishna plays his flute, we have seen that water and lakes, they become solid and still. And solid matter like stones, in the ecstasy of hearing the vibration of Krishna's loving flute, they melt. Giriraj, hearing Krishna's flute, he's going to melt. He's going to become like a massive river, and we will all be destroyed. Someone, somehow or other, stop Krishna from playing his flute. And another gopa and gopi, they expressed that what you're saying is true, but Giriraj is very sober. Let us not worry about anything and simply enjoy the sweet song of Krishna's flute. On top of Govardhan Hill, there was a massive storm with clouds, rain, and occasional rainbows, and lightning flashing in every direction. And under Govardhan Hill, there was another storm. Krishna's beautiful form, Shyam Sundar, was like a monsoon cloud. And his incredibly bright golden dhoti was like lightning. And his peacock feather was like a rainbow. And the beauty that he was sharing with all of his devotees was like a torrential rainstorm. And all the Brijabasis were drowning in happiness. While this most intimate, loving festival of love was happening under Govardhan Hill, on top, Indra was sending the most ferocious winds and rains. But Govardhan, feeling the touch of the hand of Krishna, was so surcharged with happiness that he didn't feel any pain. In fact, all these rains of devastation falling on Govardhan was like an abhishek. He felt it very pleasing, and he was just shining brighter and brighter and brighter. In fact, in all those 7 days, the Samvartaka clouds, they would go to the ocean, fill themselves up, pour it down, go back and forth until they were totally exhausted. And they went to Indra and said, "We surrender. Nothing we can do." And then these massive windstorms, Indra ordered them, "Blow that hill off Krishna's finger." The greatest hurricanes, cyclones, tornadoes that the world has ever seen was blowing on that hill, and they couldn't move it from Krishna's finger. And Krishna was smiling. Sri Radharani cast a beautiful glance upon Krishna, and Krishna's seeing her beauty. And what is Sri Radha's beauty? It's nothing material. It's the essence of pure spiritual existence. Ladini Shakti. Her body is herself eternally. She's the non-different than Krishna as the supreme lover. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains her beauty is simply as a manifested expression of her love for Krishna. And because her love for Krishna is limitless and ever-increasing, her beauty is limitless and ever-increasing. And Krishna, seeing that beauty, began to tremble and perspire. And the cowherd men, they interpreted that this must mean Krishna's getting tired, so they put their cowherd sticks under the hill to help him hold. And Sri Radharani just smiled, because the gopis understood. This is the beautiful rasas of Govardhan Leela. In all 7 days, Indra did not have the power to bring about even the slightest movement to one single grain of dust. With all of his winds and all of his rains and all of his thunderbolts, he could not even move a single blade of grass. Of all the trees of Govardhan, he could not separate a single leaf from the tree. And everyone was happy. And even some of the deers and lions and that were on top of Govardhan Hill, they were blissful. He could not disturb them. When Krishna wants to humble us, he can do it so thoroughly. And ultimately, Indra, his false pride was so disturbed. It was igniting like a fire. And it was blazing and blazing. And the more he was being defeated, the more angry and more determined he was. I have to win. I have to prove myself. And even after all the winds gave up and all the clouds of devastation gave up, he was all on his own. And with all his powers on his elephant, he was throwing thunderbolts and throwing storms until he was completely exhausted. He couldn't move a particle of dust. He became very depressed and gave up. And the clouds went away and the sun came out. And actually nobody wanted to leave Govardhan Hill, because in ordinary pastime days, Krishna was with the gopas in the day. He would meet Yashoda Maya and Nanda and the older gopas and gopis in the evenings and in the early mornings. And the young gopis, when Krishna was in the pastures all day, they would just be longing and yearning and waiting for him to return and play his flute. But during these 7 days, all the devotees were simultaneously with Krishna 24 hours every day. Krishna smiled that the rains have stopped and the sun has come out, And not only that, but the sun has come out so nicely that everything's completely dry outside. So now, everyone, please return to your homes. And by Krishna's divine love for his devotees, the whole village of Vrindavan was exactly the same as before the rains. Indra couldn't do anything to anything or anyone. So they all gazed upon Krishna, and they all had their loving exchanges with Krishna. And then by Krishna's wish, they returned to their homes. And the cowherd boys, they brought the calves and the cows outside of Govardhan. But when they saw that Krishna was still there holding, all the cows ran back. They couldn't give up Krishna's association in a circle around him. And Krishna smiled, and with his glance, he herded them all outside from Govardhan Hill. And when everyone was happily situated after this great seven-day festival of love, Krishna effortlessly, as a little child places a flower on the ground, he put Govardhan Hill exactly in the place from where he lifted it. Balaram came running to Krishna, weeping tears of affection, and embraced him. Yashoda Mai and Rohini, in their motherly love, they were offering pujas to him for his protection. In fact, Yashoda Mai was massaging his arm and kissing his finger. The Brahmins were offering so many blessings. And then Krishna went to play with his friends. And he left his friends because he was thinking of Indra. And he went all alone just near Govardhan Hill. Indra was so depressed. He felt himself so guilty. His anger blinded him of any reason or logic. But now he was really sober. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Bhagavan. He's the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. And I tried to destroy him. And I just tried to destroy Vrindavan, his most sacred, beloved place, and all of his loving devotees. What am I going to do? Such an offense. He approached his guru, Brihaspati. This was beyond Brihaspati. They went to Lord Brahma. And Brihaspati and Brahma told Indra, "You are a fool. What have you done?" You cannot face Krishna. But if you make offenses, the only means is you have to go to one who Krishna loves. And if that person appeals on your behalf for forgiveness, then Krishna will forgive you. Who is that person who is so dear to Krishna? Brahman Brihaspati said, "Surabhi, the mother of the cows." Krishna loves the cows, and the cows love Krishna. So here is the most opulent person in the heavenly regions, Indra, the king of the demigods, with all humility, he's humbling himself at the lotus hooves of a mother cow. Because he was proud of his strength, his knowledge, his fame, his position. But ultimately, he realized that the only real power is love, bhakti. And this cow has love for Krishna. So Rabi was very sensitive. And Krishna was so sensitive. He was all alone near Govardhan Hill. Today that place is Surabhi Kund. It was there that Surabhi approached Krishna. And with motherly love toward Indra, she expressed to Krishna, Indra is seriously remorseful. His mind is completely inundated by the deluge of guilt for what he has done. Please forgive him. He wants to serve you. Please accept him. On the loving prayer of Surabhi, Krishna forgave Indra. Indra then came to Krishna and bowed in full dandavat pranams, put his head on Krishna's lotus feet, and actually expressed his gratitude that I was blinded by my arrogance and you performed this beautiful pastime just to give me vision. Indra surrendered. And Krishna accepted that surrender. This is a principle. We cannot approach Krishna directly when we have lived birth after birth with offensive and neglectful lives. But if we approach true Vaishnavas and they pray on our behalf, on the power of their love and their devotion, Krishna will forgive us. Krishna will accept our service. I remember in my own life, I was a pujari for about 7 years, and I took care of cows. And when I would do an offering to Krishna, Radha, Vrindavanath were the names of the deities, I would sometimes feel so useless and guilty, like, who am I to offer something to Krishna? But of Srila Prabhupada, because of his love for Krishna, and he's asking us to make these offerings, then on the power of Srila Prabhupada's love, Krishna will accept my offering. Krishna will accept all of our offerings. And this is the way we should learn to think. Not that what I'm doing is something very great that Krishna will appreciate, but because of the love of, and the compassion of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved acharyas, and because of their prayers for us, Krishna's willing to accept our offerings. And through those offerings, we become purified. That is the beautiful lesson of Sura Bikund. Jagai and Madhai. Dinahina yatachilo harinam utharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Jagai and Madhai were such sinful people, so cruel. With their own hands, they would slaughter cows and cook them and eat them, what to speak of other animals. They would rape innocent women. They would murder Brahmins and other people. They were always taking all kinds of intoxications. They were egomaniacs. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the original guru, Balaram, they even tried to kill him directly. And Lord Chaitanya came to punish them. But like Surabhi, Nityananda Prabhu, he saw that Madhai was repentant, or Jagai was repentant. And he prayed, please forgive them. Please accept them. They want to change. They're willing to surrender. And by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya gave them pure, unalloyed devotional service. So after Indra was forgiven and was really humble and happy, then he wanted to show all the people of the heavens. He wanted to prove himself before. Now he wanted to show all the devas that he's the real Indra, Krishna. And Brahma, Shiva, Anantadev, and all the great sages and rishis and devas, they all assembled to perform an abhishek for Krishna. And the heart of the Abhishek was Surabhi. She offered her milk to bathe Krishna. And seeing this loving exchange, Krishna was given the name Govinda. He who gives pleasure to the cows, to the senses, to the earth. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here in Vrindavan 500 years ago, after leaving Mathura with this Sanodiya Brahman, he wandered to the 12 forests. He came to Madhuban, Talavan, Kumudavan, Bahulavan. And then he approached Aritagram. And it was there, sitting under a tamal tree, that he discovered Sri Radha Kund and Sham Kund. It was just little puddles in a paddy field. And the Brijabasis of that area, they didn't think anything of it. It was just an ordinary puddle in the fields to them. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring from so many people, where is Radha Kund? Where is Shama Kund? And nobody had any idea. But he found it in the most ordinary place. And Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radha, as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bathed in that pond. He sang beautiful hymns in glorification of Sri Radha Kund and took the mud and placed 12 tilaks on his body. Then he went to Kusum Sarovar and he took his bath there. And from there, he had his first vision of Govardhan Hill. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Sri Radha, is seeing Govardhan Hill as the body of Lord Krishna. He embraced one of the stones from Govardhan Hill in ecstatic love, weeping tears. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the town of Govardhan. And on the banks of Manasi Ganga to the Haridev temple. And he saw the beautiful murti of Haridev, form of Krishna that was installed by Vajranab, the great grandson of the Lord himself. And this form of Krishna, he's Giridhari. He's lifting Govardhan Hill with his left hand. And Lord Chaitanya offered beautiful prayer. May that Lord, Sri Giridhari, who is lifting Govardhan Hill with his left hand, always protect us and give us shelter. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great spiritual joy, began to dance for the pleasure of Haridev with his arms raised, loudly calling out the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with such joy. His beautiful golden form was exhibiting such love, such compassion, that everyone from all the villages in that area, they all assembled together at the Haridev temple along with Lord Chaitanya, and everyone raised their arms and everyone celebrated the joy of their eternal souls chanting the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bathed at Manasi Ganga and then at Brahmakund, which is close to there. Balabhadra Bhattacharya prepared prasad for him. And the next morning he performed the Govardhan Parikrama. And after he did the Govardhan Parikrama, he came to Govindakund. And he was remembering his Param Guru, Sri Madhavendra Puri. It was there at Govindakund that Madhavendra Puri discovered Gopal, Srinathji. And Gopal was installed on the top of Govardhan Hill. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Radha Bhav, in his love of Sri Radha, was yearning and longing for the darshan of Gopal. But Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, he didn't feel it was appropriate to put his feet on Govardhan Hill, which is the body of his beloved Krishna. So he simply sat in separation. At that time, Gopal, who understood Sri Radha's love, He made a plan. Some villagers came to the village of Anukuta Kshetra, where Gopal was on mountain. And they said, there is an army of Turkish soldiers that are coming to attack your village. Every single person leave and take Gopal with you and hide. So immediately, the whole village was evacuated. Everyone left. And secretly they took Gopal to another village called Gamtuli, and they hid him there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, and he went to Gamtuli, and there he had beautiful darshan of Gopal. And for 3 days, in the presence of Gopal, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried in ecstatic love, dancing with all the other devotees, chanting the holy names. And then the news came that there never was any Turkish soldiers. It was a rumor. So they had a procession to bring Gopal back to Govardhan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right in the presence of Gopal, chanting and dancing until Gopal came to the foot of the hill. And as soon as he ascended the hill, Lord Chaitanya offered his dandavat pranams and continued his beautiful pilgrimage through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. During the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's manifested pastimes in this world, in Jagannath Puri, he stayed in a little room called Gambira in the house of Kashi Mishra. And there he was absorbed in the mood of Sri Radha's love in separation of Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, when Krishna left for Mathura and all the gopas and gopis were in deep separation, Krishna sent Uddhava to pacify them. And when Uddhava came to Udupkyari near Nandagaon, and he saw the nature of Sri Radha's love in separation, Uddhava realized, I don't have any love at all. It was that mood of Srimati Radharani when Uddhava came to Vrindavan that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly feeling while he was living in Puri. He was seeing Vrindavan everywhere. One day, Lord Chaitanya was going to bathe in the sea. Like any other day, he happened to see a sand dune. Now in Jagannath Puri, there's so many sand dunes because the sea, so many winds are coming and makes little mountains in the sand. But Lord Chaitanya saw this one sand dune, Chatak Parvat, and he saw Govardhan Hill.
Just the remembrance of Govardhan Hill that sand dune created with him. He was seeing Govardhan Hill.
And he was walking.
And suddenly, he began to run.
He recited this beautiful prayer from the Srimad Bhagavatam of Srimati Radharani and the gopis praising Giriraj as the best servant of Krishna, Haridas Varaya.
And as Lord Chaitanya was running to Govardhan Hill to embrace Govardhan Hill, he was running at the speed of wind. And Govinda, his personal assistant, started running after him, but he was left way behind. And Lord Chaitanya, he was crying the holy names with such feelings that the other devotees could hear it, and they saw him running, and they didn't know what to think, so they all started running. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Ramai and Nandai, and everyone was running after Lord Chaitanya, but they couldn't get near him. He was so fast, so enthusiastic, so eager.
And as they were running, Lord Chaitanya passed Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Puri, or Brahmananda Bharati.
They're very elder.
They are the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, the godbrothers of his guru.
So they started trying to run, but they couldn't catch up with him. And then there was a Bhagavan Acharya, a very senior devotee who was kind of crippled. And he started trying to run to follow. Everybody was running after Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was running to Govardhan Hill, oblivious to anything of this material creation. And as he was in his eagerness,
to be with Govardhan, he came to a state where his ananda, his ecstasy, reached such a limit.
He was running the speed of wind. Suddenly, he stopped as if he was paralyzed like a pillar. He couldn't move. Every pore of his body erupted like a big flower. And every hair in his body stood on end like the petals of a kadamba flower.
And from his eyes, like the river Ganga and Yamuna, tears were flooding. And suddenly, his whole body became as white as a conch shell. And he fell to the ground with no sign of consciousness. And the devotees finally caught up with him, and they saw him in that state. Govinda was bathing his body because it was covered with sand, and he was fanning him. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami and Gadadhar Pandit and the others reached him, in his ear, all together, they were calling out with such feeling the holy names of Krishna. Nothing happened.
So they chanted.
Please understand, there was no consciousness. There was no symptoms of life that were present in his body.
What was the mood in which they were chanting?
Louder and louder, with deeper love, tears pouring from their eyes with such emotion, they were crying out the names of Krishna. After a long time, he came to external consciousness. What Kaviraj Goswami explains, semi-external consciousness.
And he looked around. And devotees were all around him. And he turned to Swarup Damodar Goswami and said, "Why have you brought me here? I was at Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. And I saw Krishna, so beautiful, with his peacock feather playing on his flute, playing with the cowherd boys, herding the cows on top of Govardhan Hill. And I was seeing them. And then I saw Krishna go to a secluded place and play his flute to attract Srimati Radharani and the gopis. I was there. Krishna took Srimati Radharani into a beautiful cave. And the gopis, they came to me and said, 'Please pick flowers for Radharani to offer Krishna.' And I went to start picking flowers at Govardhan Hill, and suddenly I heard this loud noise of all of you. You have taken me away from Govardhan Hill and brought me here. Why have you done this?" Swarup Damodar Goswami explained everything. And then Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Puri came. And they are like the gurus of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in a very respectful mood, he came into his complete external consciousness. And he asked Paramananda Puri, "Why did you come here?" And Paramananda Puri said, "We have come here to see you dance." And in this way, they all went to bathe in the sea. And then he returned to his abode. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's absorption in Vrindavan. In this regard, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, these ecstatic loving emotions, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam, of Krishna in the Mahabhava of Sri Radha, are most difficult to understand. They are the highest topics. They are the very essence, culmination of all the scriptures of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we hear from the proper sources with humble hearts in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant, understanding how fallen and small we are, then hearing these beautiful topics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the role of his own devotee, not only will by his grace we can get some understanding of that love, but he will give us that love. Once Lord Chaitanya was sleeping. He didn't actually sleep. He was laying down on the floor of the Gambira. And he had a dream. In his dream, he saw beautiful Shamsundar playing upon his flute. And with the love of Sri Radha, he was giving his body, mind, words, life to the beautiful form of Govindadev. And because of this beautiful vision, he appeared to be oversleeping. So Govinda, his servant, awakened him. And he took his bath and went to Jagannath Temple. And there he was standing just beside Garuda Stambha,
seeing the beautiful forms of Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath. But he was seeing the same form that was revealed to him in the dream. He was seeing Krishna in his threefold bending form standing before him playing his flute. There was large crowds in front of him in the Jagan Mohan, the Darshan Hall. And suddenly, a very old, simple Odishan woman. She was small in size. She was so eager to see Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, but she couldn't see over the crowds and crowds of people in front of her. So she began to climb on the Garuda Stamba, and in the process, she put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder and was standing on top of him, holding Garuda Stamba, seeing Jagannath. Govinda was quite disturbed. He said to the lady, "This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're standing on him." And she didn't understand what she was doing. So she felt really guilty, and she got down and she bowed down to Lord Chaitanya, and she was begging forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya did not chastise that lady, but he did chastise Govinda. He says, "You uncivilized man, why did you disturb this lady?" She was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that she was oblivious to everything in this world. Why did you disturb her darshan of Lord Jagannath? And then he prayed to Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya prayed, "O Jagannath, please, I pray, bless me with the eagerness that this lady has to see you and to serve you." And then Lord Chaitanya prayed to that lady, "Please bless me with your eagerness to see and to serve the Lord." This lolyam, eagerness, is such an important part of our devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is the crest jewel of sannyasis. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Navadvip, he was Nimai Pandit who conquered in debate Keshav Kashmiri, the world champion scholar. And yet, he's giving such honor, such profound appreciation to a simple, illiterate, old lady that nobody in the world knows. And he's praying that he could have what she has from his heart. When Srila Prabhupada was living at Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, he would sometimes tell the story. He'd be in his rooms, and he would see every morning a very old, simple, poor Bengali widow who would carry a bucket of water from Yamuna and just put it in front of Radha Damodar's altar, just before the pujaris were going to bathe Shri Radha Damodar. And the pujaris would come out and take that bucket of water and use it for the Abhishek. Nobody knew who she was. She was unknown.
But even after Srila Prabhupada established temples all over the world, even after Srila Prabhupada translated, wrote purports to the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, and tens and millions, hundreds of millions of these books were being distributed, even after he traveled, spoke with scholars and priests and heads of state, and had tens and thousands of followers, he was remembering that lady, her eagerness to serve. And in Yamuna Devi's book, A Life of Unalloyed Devotion, she tells the story. She heard the story of that old lady from Srila Prabhupada, and she met her. She would regularly spend time with this old Bengali widow who didn't speak a word of English. Because Prabhupada appreciated that eagerness to serve, that eagerness to love. And that is a true symptom of a Vaishnava, that Srila Prabhupada is not only living, but he's teaching us how to genuinely appreciate the devotion in the heart of someone. And how, if we can learn to appreciate, then by Krishna's grace, we will be given that eagerness. Srila Prabhupada taught us the highest principles of prema bhakti and how to achieve it in such practical ways. A way of truly expressing our devotion is to perform our sadhana and our seva with enthusiasm, with eagerness, for Krishna's pleasure. I remember once in a very large gathering, Srila Prabhupada was on a stage and he opened his discussion for questions. And someone asked, "What if we don't feel enthusiastic?" Srila Prabhupada said, "You act enthusiastic." That's seva. Seva is not just about how we feel. Seva is how we want to please Krishna, how we want to please Srila Prabhupada, how we want to please the Vaishnavas. And our enthusiasm, if it is done properly with that desire to please, that will please. We become empowered by our eagerness, by our enthusiasm. And one of the greatest services we could render to one another is by our own example. Because anybody could complain. In Kali Yuga, we think ourselves really heroic and powerful conquerors of the universe when we could find faults with other people. It's actually like that. Anybody could find faults. Anyone could complain. But how to be enthusiastic? Enthusiastic to bring the light of Krishna into our own hearts and into the hearts of others. Enthusiasm, eagerness is contagious. When we're eager to chant the holy names, when we're eager to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to preach Krishna consciousness, to receive Krishna consciousness, to cook, to clean, to distribute books, to serve the deities, to serve the Vaishnavas, to take care of our children on behalf of Krishna, to perform our duties or our work and offer the fruits of our actions to Krishna. Whatever we may be doing, we're doing it for Krishna. So we should really be enthusiastic and we should really be eager. Because Lord Chaitanya appreciates that eagerness so much. And Prabhupada will bless us so much for that eagerness. So on this most blessed day of Govardhan Puja, let us offer our gratitude and let us pray for this eagerness to hear, to chant, and to serve. Thank you very much.